One of my favorite beers I brew is a pickle goza brines. So instead of brains. So it's a bunch of pickle zombies.
Hello and welcome back to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Steele, and I'm super excited for this week's episode. And if you're new here and you don't know what's going on, this is the Craft Beer Podcast for everything creative and visual, but not necessarily drinkable in the craft beer industry. And this is the podcast where we really talk about, because what I love the most is cool can art and labels and taproom design and everything like that, and the marketing side and all the culture and everything. But today is just a little bit different because we have my friend and incredibly talented brewer Harry joining us from Experimental Brewing in New Jersey. And really, he does like the craziest, most like, and I guess I quote from the name, like experimental brews. Everything he does is like so different and so unique, and everything I've tried has been so good. Definitely some I've liked more than others, but I'm like, and then the kind of thing where like not everything is for everyone, but holy crap, literally so good. This one especially was called Oregano Gangster, and it was like this beer. It was like, it just smelled like oregano, and maybe you don't think you want that in your beer, but personally, apparently I do, and it was so good, and that's like just one of the so many that he does that are so good. Anyways, but so because he's a brewer and an engineer and really, really knows a lot and so much of the ins and outs of the chemistry behind brewing and the science, and just is so talented and combines unique flavors and ingredients and everything, I ended up, really, he's kind of like my go-to for asking questions about like on the technical side of beer. And so while I'm usually the one mostly focused on the can and the outside of the beer and not the brewery process itself, today's episode is a bit more focused on the brewing process itself too, and like different ingredients and cool things, just because honestly, like, I couldn't help myself but just ask some burning questions I have. Oh my gosh, did you hear that, like, big sigh just now? If you did, that's my puppy, my dog fell asleep, like, right next to my microphone. And, oh, anyways, this is quite adorable. But, anyways, moving on. So, today we have Harry from Experimental Brewing New Jersey, and I am super excited to talk to him. So let's get to it and welcome Harry. Okay, so Harry, let's just start a little bit off with your background. Tell us about yourself and, you know, how everything got started for you.
Absolutely. My story kind of starts like most brewers, most like majority of brewers. It was in college. I was in my fraternity house, and my mom, for my birthday one year, got me like one of those Mr. Beer kits. And so like I brewed it, I made it in our fraternity kitchen, and it was disgusting and gross, and like, just, you couldn't drink it. It was terrible. And then from there I was like, well, how do people actually make beer? 'Cause you know, for the longest time, just like anyone else, we drank, you know, piss water. We drank the stuff that was light and easy to get drunk on. And then I turned 21 and we went out. I went to school in Hoboken, Stevens, engineer. So we went out to the bars and got like actual craft beer. And I got some of the first tastes of like a lot of those famous West Coast IPAs, like the Stones and those guys. And then also like the Trogues and the guys in PA. And you've tried these beers and you're like, how do these beers have like flavor, right? Like, doesn't taste like water. Like, this is great. And then I just was like, well, how do they make this beer? And I'm not a chemical engineer. I'm mechanical. I almost failed out of chemistry. But for whatever reason, the chemistry of beer, I fell in love with. And really, it was between that and like the history of beer I just was like, I wish there was a class I could take in college when I was there about it, because it's just so fascinating how not just beer, but fermented beverages and foods have been around forever.
Yeah.
And, I really fell in love with yeast and fermented beverages, and food. I'm a foodie too. So that's where I get a lot of my ideas, is kind of that blend of cooking and brewing and taking natural ingredients that we have here and on Mother Earth and putting them into beer. Cause I mean, after all, what is beer? It's all natural ingredients from the earth.
Yeah.
So for instance, the gruit, which you drank, the oregano, I brew a lot of gruits, and what those are, they have zero hops in them.
Okay.
And
yeah, so sorry, what does that word mean?
Right. So a gruit is an ancient ale back in the 10th century. I believe it was Belgian that started them. And what that was is, the gruit is the term used for a blend of spices that was used to brew the beer. So the hops didn't exist until like the 40th or 50th century. So they needed something to bitter and flavor beer, and they used different herbs and spices to do that. So gruits were just the term, and every region of Belgium kind of had their own blend of spice that you can get to brew with. And almost a monopoly, where if you brewed beer in that area, you'd have to use that spice mixture.
Gotcha. God, I'd love to, if someone went back far enough in history to see how, what beers people were making at what times when like different trade routes, when like different trade routes were established and stuff, because that would be really interesting, I feel like.
And it's fun. It's funny. So I did actually join in the Museum of, was it Penn Museum? They did a history of beer symposium during this whole pandemic online, and they talked about like kind of the origins, going from like what beer was back in like Egypt essentially to like nowadays what beer is. It was a really interesting kind of ride through history with beer, because beer, I mean, it's been everywhere, and it's affected everything from culture to food to survival of humanity. It's a fascinated liquid.
Absolutely. I know one of the more interesting things, I did take a beer class that you wish you could have taken. And one of the most interesting things, or one of the facts I liked kind of, was when we learned about, it was like Johnny Appleseed is not Johnny Appleseed because of his love for like eating apples. It was apples to make cider, to ferment, like different, whole different ordeal. And just seeing how, like, well, one, our version of history is often totally just not what it is, what we were given. But
absolutely not.
Very off. But also just, like, the little, like, funny things like that. Like, there doesn't have to be anything, like, super crazy behind it to make us, for this revisionist history. But it's just, like, oh, like, we just want to tell a nursery rhyme about the apples and didn't need kids to know that it was all for drinking, but
getting drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of like where like my real true love of beer kind of started. So it wasn't, I've been home brewing now for about 8 years, but really more seriously over the past three. And that was because I used to, just like most home brewers, I was brewing IPAs. I was brewing everything you could go to your local brewery and go and get. So I was like, why am I going to do this? The point is, I have a home to do whatever I want, and if it's bad, I throw it out. So that's where I kind of started doing these weird things and brewing all these weird flavor profiles to see if they worked.
Yeah. So then I guess the question would be, at the point you are at now, like, how much can you make at a time? I have no idea how.
So I maxed out at about 7 gallons at a time. So I make like, I can make like 1.5, 5 gallon kegs almost.
And is that all the same beer?
All the same beer. I can split them up and make different flavor profiles if I want to. But most of the time I'm just doing one batch. Actually, like right over there is my canner. So actually then I'll take it from the keg, carbonate it, throw them in cans, and that's where I kind of, so the end game for me is I want to open a brewery at some point. The pandemic slowed it down a bit, but I that's my goal. And so my one idea during this whole thing was just to ship my beer out to people and get reactions to see, am I actually good at what I'm doing?
You are. Right?
So, so I've shipped it to 36 different states now at this point.
Oh, wow.
I've had now on Untappd over like 1,000 reviews. So I'm just trying to get the word out there through social media.
Yeah.
And, it's been an amazing journey too, just to meet the beer scene, 'cause there's so many great people in it.
Yeah. That's been the most surprising part to me about my joining the industry kind of in a more meaningful way is kind of the people, has been just really unexpected and like just lovely, honestly. So you said you went to Stevens. Did you you grew up in New Jersey, Hoboken? You said,
yep.
Okay.
So I grew up Hohokus, Bergen County, North Jersey, my whole life. And then yeah, I went to school for engineering at Stevens.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm a Jersey girl. So
awesome.
So then. Okay, then I have some questions that are like kind of part of the history, but okay, do you remember the first beer you ever drank?
First beer I ever drank. I'll say the first craft beer I ever drank.
Okay, that's the next question.
All right, so first beer I ever drank, I think it was from my uncle and like something random, like a Molson Triple X or something like that at like a holiday party. It was disgusting.
It's
like one of their high ABV beers.
Yeah, I think my first ever beer was a sip of like my dad's West Vleteren, like something that he had been savoring for years. And I'm like, that's just a really weird first sip to have. But I was like probably like 12. But it was just like, you know, like one sip. And he's like, do you get like all the 12 different courses in your mouth? And I'm like, uh-huh.
Sure.
Sure, Dad. Yeah. Sure. But okay. And then do you remember the first, and then you kind of touched on this, it was at that bar in first craft beer, but do you remember the first craft brewery you ever stepped foot into?
Well, actually, my first craft beer I ever had was actually long before that.
Oh.
I was in high school, and my mom she was always just a very cool, like, laid-back mom, not really, like, you know, not anti-alcohol or anything. She just went to a store, and so normally we would have parties at someone's house. I remember we would go to someone's basement. The parents would all be like, all right, we agree. We go to, they'll sleep over and they stay and they can try drinking.
That's just
right?
How
like,
mine was.
That was the safe way to do it.
Okay, right? I swear, so people like, not in New Jersey or from most places, that is mind-blowing to them. Mind-blowing. And I'm yeah. like, yeah, we all just slept over, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so funny.
And I feel like nowadays you'd probably get in a lot of trouble for that. But
I still am on board with it's more responsible, but whatever.
I'd be fine with it. It's to say, I mean, that's why I never got sick in college. I knew what beer was before going, long before. So she bought a 6-pack of a craft beer for me to try. She's like, you can bring it, try a couple now. You can bring it to the party, right?
And you're like, no one else is having these but me.
Yeah, it was Golden Monkey. Right, so she didn't know what it was. She just liked the label. She like, looks cool. Looks like a Buddha monkey, right, and all that. Didn't realize it was like 9%. I'm not a drinker at the time. I drank like 2 of them, and I'm like, why am I drunk? Right?
Like, that's my first experience with Golden Monkey, too, is like, wait, I think I might be drunk right now. Like, mm-hmm. Did I check the ABV here?
Yeah, so I'm in high school drinking Golden Monkeys, and like, my mom's getting me drunk, not realizing it. But yeah, that was my true first craft beer that I can
where
remember.
Are they made? Is that where is that out of Belgium?
Oh, that's no, that's a Victory in Pennsylvania.
Victory in Pennsylvania?
I don't know. Victory Brewing.
Yeah.
Victory Brewing in Pennsylvania.
The
yeah.
one that does. I don't know why in my head it was like a foreign thing. Anyways.
Well, it is a Belgian ale. So
okay. Thank you for validating yeah. that. It's funny. You know the store Cost Plus World Market or whatever? They have them around. For some reason, they always have it there. And, like, and so every time I go to get, like, a bath mat or something, I end up coming home with Golden Monkey. Like, for, and it's always on sale. But, okay, and then, so then what were you doing for work slash do you, what do you do full time? Is this what you do full time now?
So, no, I don't do this full time. I'm a quality assurance manager for cosmetic companies. Like, we make, like, raw materials for cosmetics.
Oh, cool.
So, it's kind of relevant in the quality aspect, because...
Yeah, for sure.
For beer, and quality is a huge thing. But, yeah, it's... I still love my what I do. I love my job.
Yeah. Totally. The next question that I've actually never asked anyone, but on this list I have is, do you have any pets? And I know that answer is yes.
Yep.
I think we can hear that one.
There you go. This is Barley.
Hi, Barley. Oh, yeah, what a perfect name.
I rescued him a couple of years ago.
Wait, you need three more.
Three more what?
Hops, sugar, water.
Oh, three more. Yeah. Right. I need hops.
What is
hops, it? Malt.
There it is.
Well, barley and malt's the same thing. But yeast, but that'd be weird.
That's a really bad pet name. Please don't do that.
Yeah. Hops would work. Get a budding rabbit.
That's cute, yeah. Okay, so I know you said that you want to open a brewery. When you do, and I know that there's a lot of things that make that difficult, like New Jersey being the worst for certain things, and it's just difficult to start with. But when you do, have you thought about, like, what you'd want the vibe to kind of feel like? And when you're drinking or visiting or going anywhere, like, what are you more drawn to? Like, what kind of brewery vibes do you...
Honestly, I don't really... Like, you know, it's really always cool to go to, like, a brewery that's completely built out and, you know, they invested millions and millions of dollars into it. But I love the little hole in the walls because I know they're going to have great beer because they invested all the money in the equipment and to brew the great beer. I don't need a crazy place to sit. I could sit in a garage and drink beer all day, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I know from my original plan is to actually not even start with a tap room because the tap rooms are so expensive to build out. So I want to just do straight cans to start just, and then save up and then hopefully have a place that's big enough where I can put a little tap room in.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, okay, so I have to know, so with your cans that you have, who is this? Who is on them and who designed these and how did this happen? Because so, I love it, but how? Because
so
my brain would not have done that.
That guy is nobody. No, but funny. So
it's like my alter ego.
a friend of a friend actually drew that, hand drew that guy.
Oh, wow.
And not ever meeting a family friend of ours who looks exactly like that.
Really?
So it was the weirdest. Yeah, it was the weirdest thing because when he grows his beard out, it's all white and he looks very much like that.
Oh, my gosh. With the goggles? So
he doesn't wear goggles, but he said when I opened that he would come dressed like that.
Oh, my gosh. That needs to happen. That's so funny.
So the artwork is done by... masterful artist in California. His name is Wei. He or Jerry. He's awesome. I met through a friend who's an artist also. He does all design work, mainly for like DJs and like CDs and covers and stuff like that. And he didn't have time. I asked him, you know, I'll pay you in beer, whatever, like. He didn't really have time, so he's like, but I know people, so he just connected me with Jerry, and we kind of just hit it off. He's like a big nerd like me, so it worked out perfectly. So he does the can art, and then I do have on like my website, I have like a bunch of other logos for a few beers that he also designed and helped me with.
I have to look at that. Wait, what's your, also so that I can link it in the thing, what's your,
it's experimental.com. Yeah.
Wait, experimental.com.
Yep.
So when you're either brewing or, I guess when you're brewing, do you in your head ever imagine what the, if you were to design, and I guess you just said that you have some for specific beers, do you ever design, do you ever think about what you would want kind of, or what you would want it to look like? Because you said you want to go direct to can always, or kind of how you want to convey whatever to whoever's drinking it by just the can itself. Like, do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, like, I'm brewing these beers, and a lot of them, when I do, it's like, I look at a lot of it like alchemy in a way. And so, like, that was kind of the whole steampunk looking can. And so what I do is, a lot of the beers that I brew, I kind of think of them almost as creatures in a way. So a lot of them have been designed around like a different, like a type of creature. If it's, you know, fantasy made up, a blend of like a human and a animal, whatever it is, I just try to like be creative with the name and the ingredients that are going into the beer to then come up with like a cool and clever name and logo for the beer. Because 100%, you know, again, it's a mix of marketing, creativity, and just having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, so with, okay, Killer Tomato, what do you have? What's in your brain?
So I don't have the logo yet. But Killer Tomato is 100% going to be like, so Killer Tomato was a horror movie back, like, I think it was like the 40s. I don't, it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Really bad graphics, like as tomatoes coming out and killing people. So kind of like something like that, but I want him wearing like a big chain, gold chain with the New Jersey Fresh logo.
That's perfect.
Because, you know, tomatoes, New Jersey.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. And then Black Pigeon, I can kind of picture something, but what about the Oregano Gangster?
That I don't have anything yet for. I just, someone at work came up with that name. I'm like, I love that name.
That's some Italian Jersey.
Yeah.
Something in there.
Definitely.
Something.
I have like, so like, I have one of my favorite beers I brew is a pickle Goza. And that it's brines. So instead of brains. So it's a bunch of zombies, pickle zombies.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So then when you're drinking, or if you go to buy beer or something, I don't know what's by you, but like if you have every, you know, 300 individual cans in front of you and you can take whatever, like what does the label in the can mean to you? Does it impact your decision? Do you consider it? Do you look at it? Is it, you see the label, then you read it second? Like, how does that go for you? How much does it impact?
Yeah, I mean,
it?
I think it impacted me a lot more when I first started drinking. But I think it's also depending on the mood. So, like, if I'm at a brewery, obviously I'm not going to can shop, right? Like, it's going to be post-drinking beer. But if I'm in, if I just go to, like, Total Wines where they, you know, they just have tons of cans, I might 100% just be drawn to a good can. Doesn't mean I'm going to buy it, but that's 100%. I'm going to look, that can sticks out. I want to see it. And then I'll look into it. Yeah. But like for me, like I try to think that like if a brewery is putting this much effort into the creativity of the can, that they put that effort into the beer.
Yeah.
Which I know is not always true. But yeah, you know, I'm going to pick up cool cans.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it's not always true, but I feel like it's more true than not. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, they spend that much time on what's inside the can, then that passion comes out with, you know, how much they care about the outside of it. And if that involves paying someone to design something, then maybe it's worth it. If you're that obsessed, or if you're that into the liquid, then you want the outside to reflect it.
And yeah, I feel like that is 100% a part of like the culture nowadays is the can art. I mean, you know, it's living art. It's what it is. It's just like going to the Met to see art on the wall.
Absolutely. And I really feel like some cans or some of the artwork on them like belong in museums, and there could be a museum of can art, and like, and it's just sad, like, when it just gets thrown away or tossed out. Like, and sometimes if it, like, the best ones will be, like, a seasonal release or something. I'm like, what do you mean you'll never do that again? Like, how?
And it's, you look at it, too. It's like a beautiful meld of two different arts coming together. The art of the beer and the art of the can.
Exactly, yeah. I think the way I usually ask the question is, like, you know, people often say brewing is an art form. It is, of course, but how much do you think, you know, the visual aspect kind of plays into that, which you answered. But yeah, it's like, I mean, that's how I got into this whole thing. I was like, I get that the brewing is an art. I get it. But it's also, there is also art involved. And I would like there to be more of a conversation about it. Okay, so then I wanted to know, like, when you, and you kind of touched on, like, how you're also really a foodie, you like to kind of bring in, you know, local or natural ingredients. Being in New Jersey, having a tomato thing makes sense. If you're not from New Jersey, you will know, or you should know, it is the Garden State, and after the tomatoes, which no one understands. I hate being in New York, it was always fine. There's so many New Jersey people in New York. In Georgia, I'm like, I can't tell people where I grew up because they just look at me like I grew up in a dumpster. I'm like, New Jersey is a beautiful place. Not all of it. I know. Trust me, I know. Not all of it. But a lot of it's really nice. And there are a lot of farms and things like
everyone flies into Newark and they see the Turnpike and they see, you know, the Meadowlands.
You hate.
And,
Newark Airport sucks. Well, the United Terminal, I will say, is quite lovely these days. But but yeah, I don't blame you for hating New Jersey with that. But like, no, there are
Jersey
lovely
Shore,
places,
right?
Oh, and then that did not help with anything.
Yeah. Well, none of them are from Jersey, so I'm like...
Thank you. No one ever either knows that or, like, believes me when I say that. I'm like, they're all from Long Island.
Yeah.
But anyways, nothing against Long Island. Well, maybe.
Staten Island, too.
Yeah. So I want to know, like... Okay, so you said that a bunch of your stuff comes from, like, you know, ingredients and stuff, and you're a foodie. So how though do you typically come up with what you want to do for your next beer or ideas? And then if you have a list of like, you know, 5 you want to make or 10 you want to make, like, how do you decide what to do?
It's always hard because it's like, I want to brew new beers, but I also want to like still have staples and brew stuff a bunch of times and, you know, improve this one beer that I brew. So like I just, whatever comes to mind, I just brew it. It's like, it's not even like, I kind of just go, if I have a bunch of beers, I kind of just plan out like my schedule. And it's like, I honestly am almost brewing every weekend. It's like, I'm just pushing out. It's,
well, how long, it's kinda, I know different ones take different amounts of times, but how long does it take?
So brew day start to finish is, you know, 6-8 hours, clean up, set up.
But then is that from the point that it goes into the tank and then out and then it's free for something else?
So then it goes in the tank and it could sit in that tank for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, depending.
And that depends And that depends.
On the type of beer. Right. Yeah, that depends. So like the lagers take longer. Because it depends. So lagers versus ales, it's just two types of yeast. So a lager yeast likes colder temperatures, so like 50s, and is a bottom feeder. And then ales like more room temperature, and then they're top feeders.
Interesting. Okay, wait. And then I wanted to ask you one of my favorite things, and if a restaurant has it, I will go for that. Like, so far out of my way for a lychee martini. I love lychee. And I don't know. It's such a rare flavor, I feel like.
Yeah.
In most places and for most people. I don't know why. Like, is it that rare? I don't know. But
I think it's just expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's really just like where it's imported, so it's just expensive to get your hands on it. I know a couple breweries have tried to do lychee before. I've never loved it in beer. I think it just doesn't. It's not like it. I love the taste of lychee, but it's not like powerful.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Oh, I feel like it's very powerful and very potent, but I can't imagine it working its way in. Yeah, well, I don't know about the actual fruit itself, rather than like, you know, those like jelly things.
Yeah.
That's very potent, and I feel like
that's potent.
I was thinking like a lychee lager or something. Like, how can we make that happen?
If it's gonna work anywhere, it's gonna work in a lighter beer because you don't want to overpower it. So, I mean, it's not impossible. I think if you can find a puree, which you might be able to somewhere, that might be easier to use.
Yeah.
But yeah, the raw fruit itself is kind of like more perfumey and light.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever had the raw fruit. I've only had it, the little cup jelly things, and then in martinis, I guess.
lychee martini.
I don't know where else I could find a lychee. But yeah, I wanted to ask you because I was like, and you did have the more of an answer than anyone that there would be to ask about lychee.
They used to be able to find them at Chinese restaurants. They used to like at like an after dinner dessert, they used to give you lychee. But I've never seen that, like, years. I haven't seen that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that. I feel like the only restaurant I know that has it in Atlanta is nearby, actually. It's like a... I think it's a Thai fusion type of place. It's usually that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or that kind of restaurant, which... I don't know. But... Okay, so then I'm curious, there's a difference between obviously drinking, brewing, sharing, etc. So what is your favorite type of beer in terms of drinking, brewing, and then sharing? And then if, let's say sharing isn't sharing your beers, because that would be number one. or maybe not, but
so my favorite beers to brew is like any historical style, really. So if it's the Gruitts, I've done like a smoked sour. I've done a few other like just a regular smoked Polish beer. So like there's a whole category of beers. If you look up, the BJCP of like historic style beers. One of my favorites recently is an Ode Bruin, which is a sour, Belgian beer. So it's like, a Flanders Brown. So Flanders Red is a style. It's called Flanders Brown. So just like stuff you don't see anymore and don't, you know, people don't brew anymore. Whatever reason. So I love brewing those historic styles because that's just like the birth of beer.
Yeah. And why do you think people don't make it anymore? Is it because other things are more popular, or is it because of the difficulty of the brewing process?
Honestly, it's because IPAs sell out. That's why. You make an IPA, it's guaranteed to sell out. It's the unfortunate way of the industry now. It's actually one of the reasons I started doing what I do.
I'm sick of your IPAs.
I'm not calling anyone out, but look, you put $500,000 into a place and you need to sell beer to make money. So,
yeah, I mean, you can't blame them.
It's the beer drinkers that dictate it. You know, a lot of beer drinkers just want IPAs. Yeah. So that's what's brewed.
Yeah, I'm weird. I feel like when it's like, I want your weirdest, like lambic something. I don't know. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And lambics are really hard to brew. So it's like,
because that's what the other thing I found. Because it was like that. That's the only style that I know specifically. It's like I'm always looking for, but I also know that it's hard to brew, and that at least around here, I know a few breweries that will have it, but it'll usually be like a special release at one of their locations. They have like three kegs of it or something, or like they're not canning it, or they're not distributing it or anything, even to their other locations within 3 miles. So, because I don't want to be annoyed about people not doing something that's really difficult to do that I can't appreciate the difficulty behind.
Absolutely. Like if you need specialty equipment or whatever it is to make a beer, it's like, well, I mean, if you're a little tiny brewery, you're not gonna be able to do that, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally. But
so yeah. Favorite to share.
Oh, yes.
Not my beer. I would probably say, I would say my favorite to share are rye beers. I love rye beers and lagers in general. Because even if you go to beer shares and stuff, there's no lagers or really rye beers. It's either going to be heavily sweet, like diabetes stouts. Sours, you know, heavily fruited sours or IPAs. So I like to like bring those to shares because it's just, or I mean, honestly, I bring mine a lot too because they stand out. But anything like that, it's just like, oh, well, here's a lager. It's actually refreshing after drinking all these beers. For me, it's like smoked beers. I've had so many bad ones. Mm. I think like a lot of times you can really overpower that smoke and it's like more like chewing on a cigarette smoke. Ooh. A lot of people get offended by that, right? And I mean, of course, it doesn't taste good. So I try to balance it more. And a good way to do that is using like other sweeter malts. So all they're doing is they're taking those malts and they're actually smoking them. You can get all types of smoked. I purchased lavender smoked malts.
Ooh.
You can get cherry wood and what they call Rausch malt, and they use all different woods that. Alderwood. All different times get kind of like a different flavor profile with the malt, and then you brew with the malt. And it's one of my favorite malts to brew with because my whole house smells amazing. It smells like a smokehouse. But also it's just like there's endless possibilities and styles. So I've done everything from sours to brewing smoked lagers. Rausch beers are like fantastic. That just clean smoke with the clean malt bill. I love them. There's a Grodzki, which is a Polish smoke beer. It's only like 3%, but it is so refreshing to drink on a hot day. The like smoke adds like a nice sweetness, and it's just like it's fantastic. So like smoke beers can be really good.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. Yeah, I feel like I've only had a couple like rye beer things, and is that just a question of the type of
It's so just a lot of people don't like rye. Huh. It comes off more on like the spicy ends of the spectrum when you add flavor.
Well, I feel like it's the question of like, do you like rye bread or not? Like,
yeah, and so in fact, I actually brew a rye bread beer. Yeah.
What's the difference between a rye beer and a rye bread beer?
There's not a difference. I just use I use rye in it, and then I also add caraway seeds too. So it gives you that rye taste. It's a series I do, which are also gruets. It's a sourdough boy. And those are, each beer is based off of a different bread. Again, no, zero hops in it at all. But because one of the earliest fermentations ever is bread. That was like one of the first fermentations. So that's kind of like my callback to that. So like I have like a rye bread, I do cinnamon bread, you know, cinnamon toast bread. I have a bunch of different breads that I base the beer off of. There's no actual bread in it.
Wait, but
I
do cinnamon toast?
Yeah, so it's I use cinnamon sugar with it.
So good.
And so like there's no bread in any of the beers, but I actually ferment it with sourdough yeast.
Oh,
not beer yeast.
Huh. What about, have you done something with like
I'd have an everything bagel beer.
Oh my God. Yep. Wait, tell me about that.
so that's also, so again, most of them have, similar base, to them, except the bagel has a wheat in it because bagels normally have wheat. The rye bread has rye in it. So that one I actually used. So originally when I brewed it, I tried using like the everything bagel spice.
From Trader Joe's.
Yeah, it did not work. Because the garlic in it was so overpowering. It did not taste good.
Yeah,
it was nasty. So I just bought all the individual
was like
seeds,
sesame seeds, poppy seeds.
Sesame, well, yeah, all that. And yeah. I throw all that in the beer.
Oh my, I love that. You understand, like, I have in my fridge, in my freezer right now, I think I have four left of bagels from New Jersey. I have my mom send me frozen bagels because you can't grow up and have life in New Jersey,
it's
New York.
It's the hardest thing to explain.
And yeah,
it's
I'm
the hardest
sorry,
thing to explain to people.
But your bagels suck. Like,
you can't. Yeah. Yep.
For no reason other than like your water is different. Like, I'm sorry. But
only time where it works sometimes, like for pizza or bagels, is if you get an implant of someone who's from Jersey or from New York into an area, it can work.
Well, down
a lot
here,
of times
that's
they import
the thing.
Water.
There are some places that'll do that, but down here, there's like a small chain. It's a, I don't want to call it a chain. I think they're all owned by the same family, but it's like Goldberg's Deli in Atlanta. There's they're like a New Jersey family apparent or New York family or something.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the same Goldberg's from like Westwood.
I don't know. I know they changed the, I grew up in Milburn, and it used to be, it was, what was it called? It was Bagel Chateau. And now it's called Goldberg's, but I think that's just, there's a lot of Goldberg's.
Yeah.
I think there's just a lot of Goldberg's making bagels.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of Goldberg's.
but down here, it's like, I knew that they were what they said or what they should have been when I went there and I ordered something. I ordered potato latkes and they came with applesauce.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, you know what you're doing. Like, you understand. If you know that latkes should come with applesauce, you get it. But the bagels are still not good. it's just, there's just no getting away from that. But yeah, that's rough.
Well, what kills me the most is people in New Jersey buying like Entenmann's bagels at the supermarket.
I'll never forget. I went to high school out in like, do you know where like Gladstone is?
Yeah.
Okay, so like out there. And I grew up in like Essex County. And so that was, to me, I'd never really been past Morristown because why would I? But then I went to high school out there. And so everyone lived out there and whatever. And so I was at my friend's house in, like, you know, freshman in high school for, like, a sleepover or something. And her dad was like, okay, like, I'll be back with bagels. And I was like, yes, bagels. Amazing. And he comes back with a bag from Panera. And I was like,
what
are you doing? Like, like literally, what are you doing? Like, I don't know what your goal is. I was confused. And it's like, they were New Jersey people. Like, I was so confused by that.
Yeah, but every Sunday morning growing up, it was my dad would go to the bagel shop. He'd get bagels, cream cheese, lox.
Yeah, my dad would go to the bagel store, get bagels. My mom would go separately to, or my dad would make a separate trip to get the lox from a different store because the lox, the bagel store is always so expensive.
Yep.
So it was like a two trip minimum, but it makes it so, God.
Yeah, the best.
I need that now. Okay, do you have a favorite memory associated with one of your beers or with any beer that stands out?
So favorite memory with my beer is one of the first beers I ever brewed, Dr. Yankum. It's a ode to an old wrestler. I don't know, a big WWE wrestling fan. So it's like a wrestler who originally came up in the WWE as an evil dentist, Dr. Yankum. It was terrible.
And oh my God. Failed. Ow.
Yeah. So he's pretending to pull people's teeth and stuff. So I made an orange mint beer, which I still make nowadays. Ooh. It's a wheat beer. It's orange and mint. It's really nice, really refreshing. My grandpa, who's like the reason I became an engineer, it was like the last beer he had before he passed away. And when he was sick, he had cancer and he would drink the beer. He'd be like, oh, this makes me like feel better. Like this makes all the cancer go away. Like that was like one of my, like, and it wasn't even like then, it wasn't even that good then. Like it was just okay. Now it's it's like gone through like 10 different iterations since then.
But that's awesome that you have that associated with it.
So like even the artwork that I had drawn of Dr. Yankum, the name tag says Lenny, which is my grandpa.
Aw, so. I love that.
Yeah.
I wonder, I can't remember my grandpa ever drinking beer. I don't know what he
drank.
Yeah,
my grandpa wasn't much, he wasn't much of a drinker at all.
His apartment smelled like cigars. And other than that, though, I don't have really any memories with him drinking. That's interesting. Sorry, that's just a personal. I'm like,
yeah.
Huh,
my grandparents weren't much drinkers either. I would say maybe back in the day they were more like fancy drinkers, like back like when they were young. When we went through like his collection of like he had like a bar cart right in his house in his basement of like.
Everyone's nothing grandpa like has a bar cart.
Yeah, of like unopened stuff from like 1950, right? With still the labels on. That's just like.
Oh my gosh. When my grandpa died, I remember. So he was a doctor. And when he died, he had a couple different, what's it called? Like garage spots at his apartment complex. And that I didn't even know about. But we. After that, like, we had to go and, you know, empty it and go through all the shit. He had 70 years of alcohol gifts.
Yeah.
That he never opened, never drank a thing.
Yeah.
And because he worked until the day he died, and never, I guess, never drank any of it. And so, but, like, so, like, 70 years worth of... whatever. And I was in like middle school at the time. My brother was in like high school or something. And it didn't even occur to me, but I remember like we brought like a lot of it home, I guess. And I remember I think for a little while it was like the stash, the low key stash that we had available to us. But, I haven't thought about that in forever. I wonder Wonder what happened to all that. And then what is your most, like, popular beer that you would say? Like, what do you make the most often? And
so I think my most popular beer, or like the beer that blows people away the most, is, it's also one of my favorites. And I think it was also, I would say, another one of my surprise beers. I didn't know it was going to happen. It is a smoked, rye, carrot IPA. So
that sounds so good.
It's got, I actually use, carrot, and then you have rye and then smoked malt kind of all in it, and it just comes together to kind of bring you like a really nice, like, smoky, sweet, slightly bitter beer, where like
I feel like that would go with like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, some people, it's really good, another good beer to drink with food, but some people are kind of thrown off by the smell. It smells very, very smoky. Okay. But on the palate, it isn't as smoky as it appears, because the sweetness of the carrot kind of cuts into that. Got it.
The only beer I've ever smelled and was like, I don't think I want to try this, and then tried it and regretted it. The only one, it was this like very, I don't know how to describe it other than like there were oysters involved. And it was very dark and oystery.
Oyster stout. Yeah, and oyster stout.
I just hated every part of it. I just did not enjoy it.
They actually use like oyster shells in the boil on an oyster stout. I always wanted to brew one.
Why?
I always wanted to brew one.
I wonder how many like oysters are required per like 8 ounces. Like
so they don't use the actual oyster, just the shell.
Well, this thing's taste, and I like oysters. This thing tasted like a barrel of oyster juice mixed with like coffee malt, and I was having none of it. Like, it was so gross. But to each his own. And then they made it again the next year. I was like, oh, I'm sure they're not going to make this again. Lo and behold, they made it again.
A lot of people liked oyster stout.
I guess people liked it. I was so sure. Because everything they make, this just one specific brewery I'm thinking of, everything they make that I love, they don't make again. And they made this oyster thing. They made it 2 years in a row. And I was like, are you kidding me? What?
That's funny you say that, though, because like most oyster stouts that I've had, I never really perceive oyster ever.
No.
So like they must have been doing something
oyster-y.
Weird. Yeah.
It was awful. It was so bad. I was with my dad. He drank the whole thing, but I know. And I asked him multiple times, but I know in the deepest part of his heart, he drank it because he paid for it, not because he liked it. I know. Because there's no way. There's no way. So bad. But anyways, so okay, so then is there anything like that you have upcoming that you're really excited about, or that you want to do coming up?
So really, really upcoming, I've got, so this month, September is pretty busy. So September 18th, I'm going to be part of my first beer fest. So I'm actually was invited to do a beer fest in Pennsylvania called Four Local Beer Fest. It's 100% for local. It's a charity event, and it's a really cool different beer fest in which you buy like either seats at a table or your own table, and so the breweries come around and actually come up to you and pour their beer and get a talk. It's like, it's almost like speed dating for you and the breweries, and it's a little more.
Yeah, but they get to come to you. Personable. You don't even have to go to them.
Yeah. You don't have to go up. And so it's more personable between you and the brewery, and you get to learn more about the brewery and the beer. So basically a friend of a friend, the guy who runs it, got a hold of my beer and tried it. And I'm the only home brewer that's going to be a part of it. And so I'm brewing one of my beers. So I'm bringing cans. I'm actually like one of the featured breweries there. So I'm really excited for that.
That's so exciting.
September 18th, Pennsylvania. Blueprint Brewing is the location. So yeah, I'll be one of the pourers there. And I'm really excited for that.
That's so exciting that you also get to, like, talk to everyone that, like, is drinking and stuff.
So it's going to be a great, like, networking, get my name out there. I'm bringing, like, I had a double batch because I need, like, 72 cans. I'm really excited for that. And then the end of the month is going to be round three of the competition that I'm in that I won round two. So the beer you had, the Spirit Pigeon, that's going to be the round three's lager. So I did the black lager because I can't do a normal lager. It's just not my forte.
I love it. But then, that one was so good.
That's really it. And then I'll just continue to brew from there. And I have to get stock back up so I can start sending beer out to everyone again. You can follow me on xbeer_NJ or experimental on Untappd on Instagram and then Facebook as well. And my website is experimental.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you, like, just taking the time to talk to me and send me beer and always answering my questions.
Absolutely. I mean, it's what it's all about. I love to teach about beer. Not that I know everything about beer. You know, I'm also always learning. But it's great to get to talk to other people about this amazing liquid.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you so much, Harry. I really appreciate it. And again, thank you for sending me some of your amazing beers. I'm really excited. Gosh, I have... Oh, no! Now do I only have one left? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, anytime you see any... Like, you follow along and see anything you like, 100% I'll shoot you some more. So.
Awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Oh, and I didn't show you, but you're also on my, like, audio kit of where I keep all my stickers.
Oh, nice. Awesome. I put you on my beer fridge.
So. Oh, yeah? Okay, good. I love that. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it was so good talking to you. I've had you for, like, 2 hours now, so I'm so sorry. I'll let you go.
No problem.
I hope you have a fantastic night, and it was great talking to you, and we'll chat soon.
Yes, absolutely, and thank you for having me on.
That was so much fun. Okay, I really just love talking to Harry. Like, I swear, I often will have, like, a question about beer that, like, I feel like for some reason, like, it's not Googleable or no one can answer or no one's answering me or, like, no one knows. Harry knows the answer. Harry always knows. and will just take the time to, like, explain something to me, which I just appreciate more than anything because he's just clearly such, like, a genuine person who just, and, like, as it sounded, like, just likes talking about beer and explaining things and teaching people and you know, spreading the knowledge about, as he said, this amazing liquid. So, but that was so much fun. That was just exciting because it was, like, that's the first, like, homebrew I've ever had. And I guess it's just exciting because it's, like, kind of the first things that's, like, it's really coming, you know, no matter how, I guess, I don't know. I don't want to say this isn't the case for some of the breweries I go to, but it's, like, it's really coming from the brewer. And the person who makes it and who wanted to make it. And, like, I just think that's the coolest thing. And I love that. And he's just so nice. So definitely go check that out and check him out. Experimental NJ. So the Instagram is X as in, like, Xavier or what's it called when it's, like, Whiskey Foxtrot Tango, like, I don't know. What's that called? Anyways, X Xylophone. I feel like that's the normal one. Anyways, XBeer_NJ, which is just, like, experimental beer from New Jersey. And then he said XBeer Mental. He said it, I'll I will link it and put it in the show notes and everything. But yeah, that was just such a fun conversation. Love talking to him. His beer is so good. Like, I feel like I'm always looking for like the weirdest beers, and he says it's experimental, and I'm not gonna say it's not experimental, but it's just so good. Love that conversation. And sorry, now I guess I had his oregano, the oregano gangster, and the tomato one while we were talking, and so now I have a lot of liquid and need to go pee. So with that, I guess I'm signing off here. So anyways, go check him out on Instagram and online and everything. The experimental, oh, there's an I in there. So experimental, I think is the website. And go check him out. And if you're going to be in Pennsylvania, I think it was September 18th, he said, go try and go get your hands on, at that event and try and get your hands on some of his beer and, let me know how it is. So with that, I'm going to sign off and say I'm super excited for next week, and I am really, really just enjoying this whole thing. I love talking to people and doing these interviews, and it's just so much fun. So I hope it sounds like I'm having fun, because I am. Anyways, so if you liked this episode, if you like these conversations and want to hear more, let me know what you think by letting me know at pod@beercanlover.com. But otherwise, if you just want to, you know, keep going with these episodes, make sure you follow or subscribe wherever you are listening to this, wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along on Instagram @beercanlover to keep up with everything that we're doing and talking about and drinking. And cannot wait for next week. So cheers, talk to you soon, and goodbye.